Welcome to the Elliot Jolish Hour. Elliot is the business therapist, giving you access to the greatest business minds in the world. Elliot and his sources provide insight to help your business maintain a healthy life. It's therapy for your business, and it starts now. Here's Elliot Jolish.
What, 5 days left in this month, and 1/12 of 2016 is already gone. It's amazing how fast things really do. It's been a whirlwind week or month, I should say, and a week for me too, with a lot of things going on. And for those of you that have listened to some of the replays the past couple of weeks, I apologize for not being here. I had some family issues that had to be dealt with. And actually, I'm going to address a couple of things that have come out of that, because I think it's very important, just as a business coach, as well as just in, I'm going to add some life coaching in here to a little bit. But first, let me again welcome you to the show. I am Elliot Jolish. I am the business therapist. I've been a business coach for almost five years now. I live in Frisco, Texas, which is a suburb, a bustling suburb just north of Dallas, that is just growing by leaps and bounds. If you're looking for a great place to move, I highly recommend Frisco, especially if you want to start a business here. The economy down here is just fantastic. So let's talk about January of 2016 right now. We all talked about near the end of the year, and of course, the first show of this year, about goals and the idea of how do you get goals and how you set your SMART goals. And here we are now, almost a month into the year, and it's time to make sure you're reviewing. You should review. I mean, I tell my clients you need to review weekly. You need to figure out what are your expectations for this week at the beginning of the week. And at the end of the week, you say, well, how did I do? And you just can't think about it. You have to write it down. So I always have somebody, you know, Friday afternoon before you leave work, what are my expectations for next week? Whether you're an entrepreneur or you work for somebody else, what are my expectations? What am I going to get accomplished? How many people am I going to call? How many deals am I going to close? What are my expectations? I talked to I was at a little workshop this past weekend, and I heard a great speaker that I was not aware of before, and his goal is large speaking engagements. So, I mean, he's talking to 400, 500, even 3,000 or 4,000 people at a time. It takes him months sometimes to close a deal, and then several months to prepare for it. But as he says, when I sit down and deliver that or stand up and deliver that presentation, I probably know their business better than they do, because I take all the due diligence of finding out exactly everything that is involved in their business so I can address it correctly. On the other hand, you know, there were other small entrepreneurs in the room, and he says, that doesn't necessarily work for what you're doing. Your goal is to get in front of as many people right now, and you close them as quickly as you can. That's fine. But it's the type of clientele that you reach and where it takes for that. And nothing is right or wrong for reaching the type of clientele you want to. In his case, you know, he's drawing five-figure salaries to speak, and that gets him to the next level of a higher five-figure salary or meeting more important people. You know, he works with CEOs and chairman of the boards, and they have connections that he doesn't necessarily have to get him inside another company. But let's go back and take a little review again. As I said, when you're looking at your metrics for 2016, go back and look at the goals that you set up. Figure out what your accomplishments were supposed to be for the first month, and just do a quick grade yourself. How well did you do? Where did you falter? Are your numbers on target? Are you above or below numbers? What kind of course corrections? It's not too early this week or the beginning of next week to do a course correction. So once you've done that course correction, I mean, you need to do that, if not every week, certainly every couple of weeks until you're back on square one. If your goal this week was to get in front of 10 people, did you get in front of 10 people? Now, today's only Tuesday, okay? So last week, let's go back to last week. Did you get in front of 10 people last week if that was your goal? And if the answer is yes, great. If you got more than 10 people, that's even better. Got fewer than 10, why didn't you get in front of all 10? And then now go back and figure out how many of those 10 did you close? And I recognize, and it's common, I think it's a lot of times common knowledge that a lot of times you'll get people sitting on the fence. You can't close everybody right when you meet with them, and that's okay. They should go into a separate category a follow-up, and you should figure out that, you know, anybody that you made in contact last week that it had wanted follow-up, you should follow up with this week, not counting as part of your 10 for this week, okay? That's over and above. So if you had 10 people last week and you sat down with all 10 of them, okay, kudos for that. Kudos for that, excuse me. Step one. Step two, you closed 3 of them. Great. Step 4, you had 2 say no. That's okay. They're done. Put them on the side burner. Don't get rid of them. Just put them on the side burner. You may want to revisit them 6 months down the road just to see how their business is doing. You got 5 that says, I need to think about it. I need to look at budget. Some reason they want follow-up. I'd like to discuss it in further detail with you. Any of that. Those 5 get added into your 10 for this week. So you got 10 new people and 5 follow-ups to deal with. You should always make sure you manage that correctly because your follow-ups should be quicker because now you've got a follow-up. Let's sit down again. Let me talk. Let me see what was bothering you, what didn't work for you. Where do we need to make some adjustments in what you're looking to do? Those are all very important. And then again, your 2016 goals, if you haven't established your 2016 goals, it's still not too late. Still got 11 months to get them all accomplished. And again, remind, you know, I always talk about hard targets, whether it's the number of customers or clients you want or a financial number you're aiming for. All of those have to be hard targets. You choose the number for the entire year, and then you back it up into monthly and weekly accessible numbers. So let's take all that right now. We'll talk about goals. And if you've listened to me before, you know I talk about goals constantly because I think it's one of the most important pieces of any small business. I want to put it on the side burner just for a minute, and let's talk about, I'm going to do a little life coaching here in a sense. So I missed the past couple of sessions due to some family emergencies. We have a very dear friend who went into cardiac arrest about a little over 2 weeks ago. She's doing fine, but that's not her wishes. She's 85 years old. Her goal was it, for those of you in the U.S. and understand of it, was to, if anything happened, she did not want to be kept alive on machines and tubes. Now, she's got some tubes in there. They are weaning her off those tubes, so she'll eventually be tube-free. But she came to me over a year ago saying, you know, I don't have anything, but here's what I want to do. You know, she wants to leave her body to science, medical science, so it avoids any type of funeral or memorial service, and there are no extra costs in there. So I sat down with an attorney friend, and she didn't have a lot of money, so he worked a very simple estate plan, basically, included a will, all the necessary paperwork, a power of attorney. I became the executor. The problem is she never signed them, so they're useless. I found out after the fact when I realized she hadn't signed them that she didn't sign them because she didn't fully understand why she needed to sign them. And the people I had entrusted to get them signed never came back to me and saying, we have a problem. So we're moving forward. There's not a lot thing I can do right now. But my stress to y'all is if you have, regardless of your age, if you're in business, you need a will and directives, power of attorney, medical power of attorney, and somebody you trust, whether it be a spouse or a child or a close personal family friend, somebody you trust that can make decisions based on your thought process. Now, that also means you have to talk about it. If your goal, if something happens to you, you do not want to be kept alive on machines, you got to tell somebody that so that they understand that and they have to have the appropriate documentation that they can do that. Now, that does not mean that if you are not don't have that information with you that a medical facility will not do all things necessary to save you. But once they have that documentation and validated, then they will abide by whatever your requests are. So it's very important that as a small business owner, or if you have family that's involved in your business, or if you have elderly parents, make sure that their estates are in order. Make sure they have wills and the proper documentation for whoever the executor is to be able to step in and manage the finances and stuff if that's necessary due to their health conditions. I had to just bring this up at this point. It's affected us a little bit. There's some things that we can do. There's not a lot we can do until she's recovered enough to sign those papers, which I think she will do now. but I don't even know. So that being aside, I just wanted to kind of put that out there for people to understand. If there are questions, and I don't know how it is in other countries, but in the U.S., there are all sorts of issues. Get with an attorney. Find yourself an attorney. Find somebody you like and trust. If you don't have a personal, and start with your own attorney for your business. If they can't do it, they'll find an expert for you that they know and can trust. And that's the appropriate way to do it. So it's very important, I believe, that you, not only once you have this and once you have wills and other things prepared, that they're in a safe place, and they're in a place that everybody, the appropriate people, know where they are in case something happens to you. And if you're single and have no other immediate family, find a close personal friend, somebody that you trust, that you know would honor your wishes. So that being said, let's continue on. Again, you're listening to Elliot Jolish. I am the business therapist. Check out my website when you get a moment at ecjgroup.com. I'd be happy to talk to anybody on a one-on-one basis to see if there's a connection. And if you need some business help, I'd also be happy to answer questions. Just send them to questions@ecjgroup.com. We'll address them on the air, or if you don't want them addressed on the air, just make a statement there that you prefer them not be addressed on the air, and we'll do them. And then I'll send you back an email and potentially hook up through a Skype call or a phone call. So that being said, for the rest of this, we'll get away from the kind of this sad part here. And the rest of the show, I want to talk about a few different things that I've been reviewing and looking at. Again, we talked about SMART goals. I'm going to talk a little bit more about coaching. I want to talk about what a vision board is and why everybody should have one, and affirmations and why they are so important. So again, sit back, enjoy the show a little bit. It's about time for a break here, I believe. You're listening to the Elliot Jolish Hour. I am Elliot Jolish, and we'll be back right after these messages.
You're listening to OTR-FM, part of the iOhm Radio Network.
Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at OhmTimes Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.ohmtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. OhmTimes Advisors. Connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
Hi, everyone. This is Shay Parker, the host of Best of the Best, which airs live right here on iOhm Radio every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern and 5 p.m. Pacific. I'm super excited to bring you expert guest hosts, spiritual discussions, free psychic readings, and so much more. I can promise that you will not want to miss this one-of-a-kind, fun, yet touching, down-to-earth show. Join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Pacific on OTR-FM. This is Shay Parker, and I can't wait to see you there.
This is Terry Van Horn, and I want to invite you to join me for my weekly radio show, Healing Light, on OhmTimes Radio every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. On Healing Light, we want to bring love, light, and blessings into your world. You can find out more about us at www.healinglightonline.com. Blessings.
Host your show on iOhm FM, the radio network of OhmTimes Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OhmTimes. Hosting a show on iOhm FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
This is OTR FM, part of the iOhm Radio Network.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Elliot Jolish Hour. I am Elliot Jolish, the business therapist, and you're listening on OTR FM Radio. And we've been talking the first few minutes of the show about business goals, making sure your goals are on track. And then about a little from a personal standpoint about making sure you had the appropriate paperwork if something happens to you or a family member. So let's move on a little bit and look at a couple of other items I wanted to address this week. And one of the things I've been noticing here and that I have talked to a lot of people about and have worked with, and in every January I kind of sit down and go back and review, and that's networking. And again, what do we define as networking? And of course, networking is meeting with other people in some type of environment, whether it be a cocktail mixer at the end of the day or it's a lunch meeting or even a breakfast meeting. You've got, sometimes you'll be like a B&I group where you're the only industry in that group, and you exchange referrals with other people and help them close their business and they help you close your business. The importance of networking cannot be stressed enough, because we tend to always do business with people we know, like, and trust. And the only way somebody can know you, like you, and trust you is for you to get out there and meet them. Now, that doesn't mean you can't do a lot of work through referral sources. I know a couple of coaches, that's all they do, is they've been in this business so long that basically everything they do is through a referral source. I also like to remind even my clients that I do reward for referrals, but I don't want them, all I want them to do is an introduction. I don't want them to say anything else about how it's, you know, going into any details or what I do or how I do it, because for all my clients, everything is customized. Everything I do for my clients is basically made just like you would make a suit. You go in and you measure it. That's what we do. I go in, I listen. I listen a lot usually. We determine how the business is working now and how they want the business to work. And I help them figure out what needs to be done to move to that level, to get it to where they want it to be. A lot of times we look at obstacles that are in the way, and it's not uncommon for it to be the owner of the business to be in some kind of obstacle. It's not a derogatory statement or anything. It's just a fact that a lot of times when you're working in the business, it's hard to work on the business. So it's one of those issues that I always like to address. One of the biggest areas, again, goal setting is always a huge area I find with businesses. You've got goals of the company, you've got your mission and vision and goals for the owner. And your staff don't understand the goals, or don't know how to implement the goals, or they're just not understanding why the goals are such. So it's always a good thing to kind of go back and review that. But let's go back to networking a little bit. So the importance of networking, what I will always do is I take a look at all of the different networking groups that I belong to, whether it be the Chamber of Commerce or just a group I've met through Meetup or a B&I group. I looked at all those groups that I have been part of for the last year. Now, some of those groups are free. Other groups cost money. Some of them have a weekly fee when you go. Others, as long as you buy lunch, if they're at some establishment, they're okay with that. And there's no cost. But I go back and I review all of them. And one of the things I'll do is I'll sit down and figure out, okay, how has this networking group helped me? I'll also look and see how consistent I was at attending. If it's a group that meets every week and I was there 3 out of 4 weeks in a month and I've gotten no business out of it or no referrals out of it, then I'll grade them lower than I would grade somebody that's once a month and I've gotten 3 or 4 referrals or 3 or 4 clients out of it. So it's a process. It takes a few minutes to do, can take a while. And I go through and look at all that, and then I determine, okay, these groups, maybe it's time to give them a rest. I'll drop out of them. These groups over here, maybe I need to spend more time because I haven't done my due diligence. It'll also depend on how frequently I went to the group and when I started the group. There are some groups that I'll start beginning, you know, in the middle of a year just because I didn't know about them before. Somebody invited me to the group, and I'll sit down with them and go through it. And then the other type of mixer, which I tend to do on a regular basis, is kind of a networking evening mixer. We have several here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, which is where Frisco is located. I was at one last Wednesday night. That was the gentleman that runs this group is just phenomenal. It's done in a hotel bar. He's been doing it now for 4 or 5 years, somewhere between 4 and 5 years. And I can remember going to it a year ago, not even a year ago. I'd say 2 years ago, maybe 2.5 years ago, and there'd be 20 people there. And I kid you not, this past Wednesday, we probably had close, I don't know if we had 200 there, but we certainly had close. It was mad people, or that's not what I want to say, but we had people everywhere. I mean, and they set up an extra bar for us. They cleared out all the furniture because we knew there was a large group coming. And they were well prepared. The hotel did a great job. Mike, the gentleman that runs this, was fantastic. He collects business cards from everybody when they walk in the door. And then one of the things he does, which is very beneficial, is he scans those cards and emails them out to everybody. Now, of course, that gives you some way to contact people. His request, of course, is don't spam them. Don't send them stuff to try to sell them or anything. And don't put them on your list without their permission. And I would concur with that. But it also gives me a chance for people that I may have talked to that I didn't get a card from occasionally that may have handed all of their cards out. So that's an excuse I don't buy into. That just, to me, when you're out marketing yourself, because that's what you're doing, you're at a networking event, there's no excuse for running out of cards. I've gotten close. I've never run out of cards. And the close was because I forgot to pick some up from my office and put them in my car. I always leave cards in my car, extra cards. And the box, it was empty when I went to look at it. But I always have backup in the car, usually. But I was okay. I didn't run out. But this wasn't last time. This was a time before, a couple of times before. But anyway, there's a new event now here starting up Thursday night, I think, called Last Thursday. And it's a brand new event. I happen to know the organizer, so I'm going to go support him and see. And, of course, I've done some promotion of it to get him out there. There's a wonderful website, and I cannot think of the gentleman's name right now, called The Art of Networking. He brings up he runs a blog on it, too, and he brings up some very good points. And and I'm guilty of it as well. You make a connection with somebody. You have a short conversation. Sometimes you can't have a long conversation because it's too noisy. But there's an interest, either for you doing business with them or them doing business with you. And you take their card, you may put a note on it, and then you don't follow up. And he's done some tests and stuff. He's had name tags. He's gotten information from people. He's given his card out to a lot of people and says, give me a call. I'd like to talk to you. Nobody follows up. It's a problem. If you go to a networking event, regardless of whether it's a small luncheon type event or a mixer like this, and you get a business card and you tell somebody somebody tells you to follow up with them, by all means, follow up with them. Now, the other thing I think that's very important, if you go to a lunchtime or breakfast time networking event where you kind of everybody gets to give a 30-second spiel or their elevator speech, and then sometimes there's a spotlight moment, so a member gets up and talks about its business specifically. One of the important things is because we tend to do business with people we know, like, and trust, is you need to have what are called one-on-ones. This is an opportunity. They usually don't last they can last more than an hour, but I would schedule them for an hour. Each person at that, and it's with two people, you know, you go network with somebody and said, I want to do a one-on-one with you, and you sit down with them, and they get a half hour to tell you about themselves and their business, and you get a half hour for the same thing. And then you close it up, and how can you help each other out? You know, what can you do for this person? What can they do for you? And the more you do that inside of a networking group, I find sometimes the more beneficial. Now, you got to find the right groups. Going into one meeting one time will not help. You've got to be consistent. You've got to go at least, I'm going to say, 3 to 4 times. If you went 3 to 4 times with some one-on-ones in between, so that you've seen, you know, I say if you can do 2 one-on-ones a week, you're doing good. You know, if you can do more, that's great, depending on what your business is. It depends on your ideal client. And that's one of those things you have to know going in. What type of person do I want? What am I looking for? What's my ideal customer or client? And if you haven't written that down, you need to. You need to understand that. That's part of marketing. So you market the right people. So when you're talking to somebody else in a networking event, you can say, well, here's the type of person I'm looking for. You know, I'm looking for a small business owner. I'd like them to be in business at least 3 years. They need to make revenue. I prefer them having $1 million in revenue on an annual basis, but I will consider $500,000 or even $750,000 if it fits what they're looking for, and I can help them. So, you know, that's the type of thing you would tell somebody else so that they understand when they're looking for somebody. You know, I did up a sheet that I use for myself, and occasionally I'll hand it out to my referral sources, and basically that kind of goes through the steps of here are the buzzwords or key things you should listen for from a friend of yours that might be in business that could use my services, you know? And I've broken it down to all sorts of little statements. You know, I'm worried. I'm staying awake at night trying to figure out how I'm going to do this. Ding, 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 ding. Bell should go off. You know, John, I got somebody that might be able to help you. Would you be interested in talking to a coach? He's a good friend of mine. And whether you've done business with him or not, it's not important. But if you had a one-on-one, you can talk more about him. And I think he might be able to help you out. Can I give him your name and let him call you? And that's the appropriate way to do it. So, or you can do a lot of times if I'm hooking up two different people together, I'll do a cross introduction. Cross introduction is an email to both people. Ask them permission to do a cross introduction before you do the cross introduction. At least that's my belief. And then you send a cross introduction. You send the email to both people for in the two group. You copy yourself in the front in the CC group so that you have it in your regular email and don't forget about it. And you just do a quick introduction to each person, and then you bow out and you say, I'm here if you need me. If you'd like, if there's any other issues I can help you with, please feel free to reach out. You know, thanks. I hope this turns into something very, very big for you, or something big for both of you. And you bow out gracefully. If they want you or need you for something, they'll reach back out to you and say, Elliot, we've got some stuff working. Can you come in and help us? We think we need a coach helping us. I had a meeting last week with a gentleman that was an attorney that had a potential client that we thought could do some business. And I happen to have a friend that's looking to buy a business. So I put the two of them in touch through a mutual letter. And after talking to both of them saying, was that okay? And they said, yes. Now it's turned out that for this particular company that he was trying to rescue, it was a little too late and they were desperate. So they were past desperate, I should say. So you're listening to the Elliot Jolish Hour. I am Elliot Jolish, the business therapist. You're listening on OTR-FM, and we'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned.
This is OTR-FM, part of the IOM radio network.
The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Hi, this is Angela Levesque, host of Entanglement Radio. Join me Wednesdays at 12 p.m. Eastern for inspiring conversations with visionaries in spiritual science and conscious healing. Entanglement Radio, Wednesdays at 12 p.m. Eastern. Transcendent talk for the conscious mind.
Do you want to be a better communicator? Do you want to better connect with the important people in your life? Do you want to enrich your relationships? If so, join me, Matthew Cooper, on the Positive Control System show every Wednesday evening at 11 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time on OM Times Radio. I'll meet you there.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
You're listening to OTR FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Elliot Jolish Hour. I am Elliot Jolish, the business therapist. And for the before break here, we were talking about networking and the importance of networking. And before we move on to the next topic for today, and I apologize for that. I forgot to mute that. Before we move on to the next topic for today, let's wrap up a little bit on networking. And what I really wanted to do is talk to you and remind you of the importance of networking and making sure that you do it. I always like to tell people to make sure they understand what they're getting into. You have to have a 30-second elevator speech. You have to have a business sense about you. You've got to act the way you would expect your customers to act for you, and you've got to act the way you would in front of a client when you're at a. And so, don't you go to a network mixer? Make sure you're dressed appropriately. Make sure you if alcohol is served, don't go overboard. It would be always my suggestions, and maybe you don't drink at all. Particularly if you're looking for clients, if you're trying to build a business and you're looking for clients, you want to keep your wits about you. You want to understand what's going on. Go ask for, some soda water. If you want one drink, one beer or something and just milk it, that's great. Maybe that's the thing to do. But other than that, I'm not a big drinker. And when I go to a networking event, I don't drink, period. So it's just one of those things. It creates problems with your business if you become inebriated or you'll do things that you don't remember what you do. And it's one of those things that you just have to recognize. It's also a good thing to make sure that your 30-second speech is professional and it's the same presentation time after time after time after time. So sit down, figure out what you want to say, write it out several times till you get it right, and then speak it out loud and time yourself. And a 30-second elevator speech to me should be 28 and a half seconds, not 30. You don't want to go over. You want to go right, just kind of step up to the line without touching the line. So the real issue, and then practice it. You should know it by heart. Do not read it. Let me say it one more time. Don't read it. So know it and repeat it. And it should always include who you are, what your business is, what you're looking for right now. Now, that's the one piece that can change. If you're specifically looking for attorneys, you're specifically looking for a banker, you're specifically looking for XYZ, some type of business or industry, yes, you can tailor that piece of your 30-second speech, but it should be very minor changes and it should be consistent. So the rest of your speech, and then always make sure people know how to get a hold of you. See me after the meeting. Here's my phone number. Here's my web address. Check me out on the web, some way of connecting back. And make sure you have business cards. Your business card should have same contact information on it. And ideally, it's not a bad idea to put on the back of your business card, leave a little bit of white space so somebody can write on it. But the other thing I would put is either put a QR code on there that would take them to your website with a special offer, or just put a quick verbiage or a line, for a special offer for the top 10 things that, that people are looking for. If you build swimming pools, top 10 things you should know before you hire a pool builder, or construct, and then just send a string to them, and then create that document, put it out online, so people can download it for free. And then one of the things, you have a landing page that they go to, which is what the code would send them to, and they have to put their name and maybe email address and maybe a phone number. If they're looking for a pool and they want this information, they don't mind giving that stuff up. And now you start building a list that you can start sending them little tidbits out, or you can reach out to them. Hey, you got this free report. You send them an email back. Are you thinking of building a pool this summer? We have some special prices right now because it's wintertime here and our business is usually slow, but we could save you a little bit of money if you want to build a pool right now. Of course, it's January here, and if you're ready for a pool, if you want to build a pool right now, you missed the boat. You need to start in November and then maybe even October, because most of the builders by now either already have their winter jobs in process and their summer jobs are starting to fill up and the prices go back up. So that's a side note, because I put a pool in here 3 years ago and we did start in November. And they did start digging in December, and our pool was ready in March when it started getting warm again. Wasn't that nice? So let's continue on here. The next thing, a couple of things I wanted to one of the things I think I mentioned on the last show I did is one of the things I'm going to put out here to the readers as a challenge is reading books. You need to find a business book that is appropriate for your business, and there are lots of them out there. And I tell people there's no excuse for not reading at least one book a month. And why do I say that? Because most business books are less than 300 pages. And if you read 10 pages a day in 30 days, 1 month, you can read one business book. Then you put it down and you pick up another one. There's lots of books out there. If you want a suggestion of what books you should read, drop me an email. I'll send you back a list. I will create a list. And actually, if you want, you could actually go out to entrepreneur.com. And I believe they have the top 25 business books they recommend for 2015. And I would start there. Now, several books, I think the last time we met here, I said Think and Grow Rich, which is a Napoleon Hill book written back in 1937, I believe, if my memory serves me right. I will always recommend you read that. If you're a small business owner, you always, and even if you're not, even if you're in an MLM or even if you work for somebody else, that to me it has to be read by any type of entrepreneur and should be read every year. The other option is if you have problems reading a book, if you just can't get through them, consider listening to the book. Go to audible.com, subscribe to it. You get when you subscribe, they usually give you at least one credit for a book. And if every month you are a member, you get at least one credit. Sometimes I think you get more. There's a way to get more, but I'm not sure. And then when you're in the car, just have the book on your phone and plug it into your audio system. And most audio systems now connect with Bluetooth so that when you get in the car, you can play it and you can listen to it while you're driving down the road. Now, especially if you do a lot of driving, if you're in the car a lot during the day, there's no excuse that you probably couldn't listen to a book a week. And there are lots of books out there. Again, if you're looking for suggestions from me, and I'm going to recommend at least one every month. Right now, it's Thinking and Grow Rich for the January recommendation. I will make another recommendation for for February when we start. I'm thinking of a secondary book sometimes, one that may be not directly related to business, but maybe more to life coaching, which I don't do a lot of, but I've gotten involved with this book over the last couple of months and have been fascinated with it and have talked to a lot of people about it. And that's The Secret. Came out in, I think, 2006. And it's interesting. I enjoyed the book. I've listened to it. There's a movie out I have not seen yet, but it's another one that I would certainly consider. But by all means, for a business book, Think and Grow Rich would be a primary book. Another good book to read if you're looking for extra books would be Rich Dad, Poor Dad. That's another one. Sharon Lecter is one of the co-authors in that book. She's also got a Think and Grow Rich for Women book that I would highly recommend. So let's move on and talk about here the next step. Let's see, what do I have here? We talked about that. How about a vision board? Does everybody know what a vision board is? A vision board is basically your dreams where you can see them. You know, as I told you, when we talk about annual goals review and you start working on your SMART goals, that you need to write them down. Well, the same thing kind of applies for a vision board. Whatever your dreams are, you have to write them down. So whatever your visions are, where you want to be and where you see yourself, you have to write them down. You have to put them out. So you get a board, put it on your wall, and then you go in and look for photographs. Either photographs of things you like, things you want to be able to do. You know, if you want to be able to fly around the world, maybe you take a picture of the globe and a plane flying around the world. There's pictures out there you can find. These are just pictures you find out of in a newspaper or a magazine, or if you go online and find a picture, you print it out and cut it, crop it down and stick it up on your vision board. These are things that you want to accomplish over the next years. And there's no deadline. I've talked to individuals, I've read articles and stuff that people have created vision boards over the last, you know, 10, 15, 20 years. And this one gentleman I was listening to had created a vision board, oh, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago, he said. And, when he moved from, he was living in the East Coast on the side, he moved out to California, he packed it all up. put it in a box, packed it all up. And it was probably a couple of years later before he got around to unpacking it, just because of business he was doing so well and things were happening. And he and his son were unpacking it, and he was putting all the stuff back on the board and mounting it back up. And his son asked him what that was. And he said, well, this is my vision board. This is stuff that I dream of coming true and that I'm looking forward to accomplishing. And the son said, Dad, that's a picture of our house. And he'd put on there, found a picture in a magazine or something of a house that he wanted to have. And two or three years ago, and he went outside and looked and realized that that picture was his house. Now, I don't know if it was the exact same house, but it was the right style. It looked exactly like the picture did. And here we are 3 years later, he's living in that house. So vision boards will help you accomplish your goals. There's no question about it when you're looking at it constantly. That's one of the things why I want to see your goals written down in front of you, so that you see them every day. And time again, you repeat it and you repeat them. So you're looking at them all the time. So you set it up in your mind and in your brain and in your subconscious that what your expectations are. It helps you accomplish those expectations. A side piece that works with a vision board that I always like to do are affirmations. Affirmations, again, they're another part of your SMART goal series. They help you keep positive thoughts in your mind and moving forward and help you accomplish those goals. I have a coaching friend that uses affirmations in his own business all the time. And I'll get into a little bit about that. We're just getting ready to get to a break. So I'm going to wait so we don't have to start that story and then stop it. But both vision boards and affirmations, I believe, are a very important piece of your SMART goals and over the overall process on how you obtain your SMART goals. So again, you're listening to the Elliot Jolish Hour. I am Elliot Jolish, the business therapist, and you're listening on OTR FM radio. We'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to OTR FM, part of the iOM Radio Network.
Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
This is Terry Van Horn, and I want to invite you to join me for my weekly radio show, Healing Light, on OM Times Radio every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. On Healing Light, we want to bring love, light, and blessings into your world. You can find out more about us at www.healinglightonline.com. Blessings.
To read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth radio is conscious living for your soul every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Being a radio host on iOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
This is OTR FM. Part of the iOM Radio Network.
areas that we've been covered. We've been talking about vision boards and affirmations. In this last section, I wanted to go and kind of give a story. I've got a coach. She's been in business for 15 years or so. In fact, I think I'm going to see him next week at a conference we're going to, but I haven't checked with him to make sure he's going. The good news for them is he lives up in the Northeast where they're getting all this snow, and this meeting's in San Antonio, so he'll have some warm weather. But anyway, he presented an idea that you take one of your goals as an affirmation. You write it out as an affirmation of what you want to accomplish. You put it on a 3x5 card. You wrap up that 3x5 card and fold it up and put a rubber band around it. And you put it in your pocket. And every time that you touch it, when you put your hands in your pocket or you feel it, you take it out, you unwrap it, you open it up, and you read it out loud, no matter where you are. He says for him, and he still does it to this day, it speeds up the accomplishment. He accomplishes that particular goal or by using that as an affirmation much faster than if he didn't do that, because he's constantly thinking about it. It becomes kind of burned into your subconscious so that you're thinking about it all the time, and your subconscious, you know, can do a lot of work for you while you're not thinking about it. And he says it's worked. And he recommends it to all of his clients. I recommend it to some, and I have not, I've considered doing it for myself, but I have so much else going on, I haven't had a chance to implement it, I will confess. But it's something I'm going to look at doing in 2016. So it's an interesting idea. I think it's again, it goes back, everything has to be in alignment with your business. Your vision and mission all have to be on the same page. They have to be in line with each other. From that, you have to have your unique selling proposition. What makes you, as a business owner, special from another business owner selling the same thing? So if you're selling widgets, let's say you're selling gold-plated widgets, what's different from the next guy that is also selling gold-plated widgets? Why are your gold-plated widgets better? And if they're the exact same gold-plated widgets, that there's no difference, then what makes you a better customer or vendor than your competitor? And what do you do? And I always believe in a collaborative environment as far as a competitive. So I'm there. Yes, I'm there to make money. Yes, I'm there to help keep my client, but I'm there to help keep my clients happy. And if my clients need something I can't deliver on, I'll find somebody else that can help them. Yes, there's a risk. There's a risk that your client won't care that you went out of your way to accomplish something to help them do their job better. Yes, that's a risk, so you might lose a client, but there's a bigger risk. I think there's a bigger reward. First of all, you'll feel great about it. Your client at the moment will be thrilled about it. You'll build a good reputation with your competitor. They may go out of their way sometime to return the favor. And potentially, if your client or person buying from you appreciates what you did and recognizes the importance of what you did, they'll bring you other clients. Hey, go buy these gold widgets from here, because when I ran into a problem, he couldn't help me, but he sent me over here and they helped me. I went back to him because I know that I get the customer service from him that I would need if something happens. So it's very important in customer relationships that you always stay in tune with your customers. I always tell my clients when I'm working with them that if you haven't talked to your client within the last 90 days, get on the phone. If you don't do a newsletter, and maybe you should, depending on what you can talk about, figure out, even if you only send the newsletter out once a month, send that newsletter out to help keep connections. And don't just send it to your current client, send it to your past clients. Unless they ask you not to send it, you always have to have an unsubscribe list or capability. And then let them make the decision that, no, I don't want this anymore. And it will remove, if you go and use one of the CRM systems out there, there's a lot of very inexpensive ones. There's MailChimp. I've used MailChimp, I've used AWeber, I've used Constant Contact, I've used Infusionsoft. They're all great tools, but they're tools. You have to have the processes to run them. If you're looking for something inexpensive, I highly recommend MailChimp. You can, I think, do up to 2,000 clients with some limitations at no cost initially. If by the time you reach more clients than that, you know, it'll be time to pay for it, and you should. And whether you use MailChimp or AWeber, Infusionsoft is a phenomenal product, but I'd call it the Rolls Royce of CRMs. It's got a whole bunch of information and tools under the engine to make it go bigger, badder, faster. But it also takes somebody with a special skill set to manage it. It's hard for the small business owner to run it by himself without going through a lot of training. So those are different areas that you just have to plan for. I think it all revolves around making sure your goals are established the way they should be, that your mission and vision are on target, that your unique selling proposition is also on target, and that if you have employees, that they understand what that all is. They all have to line up. I mean, if you don't know if your employees are communicating the right message, first of all, go ask them. Get them to present to you. Get them to his example. If not, go hire a friend who might be interested to call up and you know, in a sense, play devil's advocate. Ask questions. And don't be complicated or try to trick them. Just get them to do their sales pitch and their go through the whole process of how they would sell to a client. Go back and talk to your clients. Go ask your clients for testimonials. You know, we're looking to improve our web page and our web presence. We would love to have a testimonial from you, whether it be a video or in writing or audio, something of that nature that you can put out online that, you know, and you get permission that to use their name, either use their first name only, maybe just put their industry if they don't want their name used, and then what location they are, what part of the country they're in. Maybe you just put U.S. if you've got international clients as well. So these are all important pieces. I would say as another part of your goals and your annual goal review, maybe it's time to review your website. We haven't really got involved yet with all the technology and making sure your systems and processes are all in place. But that's something that always has to be reviewed, I would say at least on an annual basis. And you're looking for inconsistencies. You're looking for things that aren't working as well as they should be. You're trying to avoid putting a round peg in a square hole, or worse than that, a square peg in a round hole. Obviously, that doesn't work very well and can be very complicated and could cause some issues with your clients. And you need to be aware of that beforehand. It's always a great thing to do to review your processes, especially with your employees or your contractors, depending on what you have, so that you recognize and do the same things over and over and over again, so that orders don't get misplaced, orders get processed appropriately, payments get processed appropriately. It's also a great time to review with your accountant, whether you use a CPA to do all of your accounting or whether you have an in-house accountant or maybe you just use an accountant to prepare your books. This is a great time to sit down with the accountant and go back and look at last year and build a budget for 2016 if you already haven't. Now, you really already should have, based on what 2014 and 2015 were. You should have already built a budget. But I also tell people to review. I've got a client that just moved. She moved from a location that she was at for 29 and a half years to a new location. Now she's renting from both. She rented from both locations. And we have only some guesstimates right now, or rough estimates of what her budget should be for this new location. We know what her rent is. It includes a few things above and beyond what she was paying for before. So that will save her some money. But there'll also be some expenses that she didn't have potentially that might cost her more money. All we can do right now is estimate that, go back and look at a cash flow report, and recognize cash flow is when money's coming in and going out so that you know that you have money to pay all your bills appropriately. But cash flow, while important, is not the only thing you should be looking at. So once we have gotten some preliminary numbers, it's a good thing to start sitting down, but it'll be 90 to 120 days before we have any kind of hard number, particularly with things like her phone and internet service. She was paying one thing at one location. The thought process is she'll pay about the same thing, but we don't know because it's billed differently. She's got some different services. And so that's going to create a billing issue from the standpoint, at least from a budget standpoint. And that's just something she has to sit down and look at. She has to figure out the difference. But right now, we're plugging some numbers in that we think it will be. We're comparing it to last year's numbers, which now won't be concurrent because she's in a new location. But if we can't come up with any numbers, we may use last year's numbers just as a marking point and make a mental note in there or a written note that in 90 days, we're going to go back and review what our expenses were. We're going to discount any startup expenses, take them out of the budget, and update the budget appropriately and make sure our numbers are all in line. We also sat down and started looking at her hourly expenses and what she charges her clients to make sure that the money she's making is what is appropriate, or does she need to raise her prices? In her situation, I would have normally done it at the end of the year, but in her case, there were some complications and it made it very difficult to do. So we're starting to do that now. It always amazes me how fast the hour goes by here, and it's just before I know it, the hour is gone. So in a quick review, before we run out of time again, we talked about the annual goals review. And again, this is the end of January. It's time to go check your metrics. We talked about networking a little bit. We talked about why you need a coach. And I'll get to in a lot more detail in the weeks to come as to what a coach can do for you. We talked about vision boards and affirmations and why I feel they're important. Again, thanks for joining me. I have a great time every time I'm here. We'll see. We talked about a book. One more last thing to finish up Think and Grow Rich. We'll have another book to read next week. Y'all have a great and safe week, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye for now.